On the Radar, an Eagle News program that takes you beyond the streets and brings you closer to national and international breaking news as it unfolds. Tune in every Monday to Friday from 1 to 2:30.
Good afternoon, Namibia, and welcome to the Wednesday, the 12th of June, 2025 edition of your trusted news source on the Radar News Bulletin with your host, Ndafa Happy Juju. Now, whether you are on the road, at work, or unwinding at home, we've got your news covered. From politics to public health, climate to culture, and everything in between, we're here to keep parents, professionals, and citizens informed, engaged, and empowered. Upcoming on today, as Namibia enters the heart of Mental Health Awareness Month, we unpack the state of mental wellness in our communities and the importance of accessible support systems. Plus, a look at the importance of local entrepreneurs as key players in shaping the country's vision of empowerment. The U.S. Embassy in Windhoek sets the record straight on visa eligibility and travel advisories, reaffirming Namibia's strong standing with the United States. You're listening to On The Radar, your go-to platform for comprehensive news coverage, insightful analysis, and exclusive stories that matter. Don't forget to stay connected through the Eagle FM mobile app, our official website, and our national radio frequencies. For breaking news on the go, subscribe to the Eagle WhatsApp service and never miss an update. All you have to do is send a text message to 081-200-4144. And before we dive in, a gentle reminder. Take a moment, take a breath, and reach out. When you're not feeling your best, you're not alone, and your mental health matters. Now let's get into these headlines. Prime Minister Eliane Ngurayre on Tuesday reaffirmed the government's commitment to supporting Namibian-owned business ventures and recognizing their role in elevating the country. This highlights the importance of local entrepreneurs as key players in shaping the country's vision of empowerment. However, for many business owners and those aiming to venture into the business world, this serves as a message of encouragement, signaling that their efforts are valued and that the government is committed to creating an environment where they can succeed. Earlier on, my colleague Joseph Jeremiah caught up with economist Peter Franz on this development. Let's take a listen.
Good afternoon, Peter Franz. Welcome to On The Radar.
Afternoon, sir. Thank you for having me once more again.
Today's discussion is based on the recent Prime Minister's statement, and the statement, it was said on Tuesday, which says the government reaffirms its commitment to supporting Namibian-owned business ventures and recognizing their role in elevating the country. As an economist, we just want to find your views on what is the importance of establishing and supporting Namibian companies in wealth creation and resources ownership?
Yes, thank you for that question. So firstly, the importance of establishing a Namibian company is for the national resources, such as mineral resources, can be distributed fairly among the Namibian people. And also, on top of that, it's very important when we support the Namibian businesses, because a lot of jobs are going to be created within the environment. A lot of people are going to street, because as we support the Namibian business and or Namibian and the business and environment in general, people are going to be employed by the businesses, and also people will be more employed and it will be a happy country. I think there was also a happiness index that was released earlier this year, which says Namibia the most safest country in Africa, or part of top five. In this case, I think it will help us a lot. Yes.
So, in terms of businesses being able to put our name as a country above there, I just want to know, how can the government support for local businesses stimulate economic growth and poverty reduction in Namibia?
Yes. So, we have Development Bank of Namibia. So, this is a government body that helps businesses venture into any industry that they would, with capital provided to them. So they basically provide this kind of capital. So they can just relax a bit of the requirement and also just extend the amount that they can give to this particular people that wants to start businesses. I know it's difficult when it comes to commitment. I've seen it, I've witnessed it, but it's very risky to give money to someone to start a business because they not all of them know exactly what they want and also how to run the business. So in this case, it's also very risky, I understand. But the government, if you can at least relax this requirement, let's be able to accommodate most of the people with legitimate business ideas. I think it will help us a lot. And also just to give subsidies to those with potentials of taking a good number of people from the street. Let's say it will be each graduate. Any kind of business that will align with the mandate that was released by the president of employing graduates and interns on the annually basis.
Mm. So we have seen that in most countries, people have been able to promote their local businesses. Now, I just want to find out, how does promoting local procurement and buying Namibian products affect the velocity of money and overall economic resilience?
Yes, that's a good question. So when a Namibian product is produced and we are willing to sell it abroad, outside our nation's boundaries or borders. Mm. So that means our currency will be more in demand because people want to buy Namibian product. And now for you to buy a Namibian product, you must buy it in a Namibian currency. Mm. So in this case, when they buy our product, the currency, it will be demanded more, which also helps the value of the currency to go up. So when our currency goes up, this makes us to afford most of the products outside our borders. So in this case, the velocity of money, the money will be in circulation, not only in the nation, but also in the country, because people will be demanding the Namibian dollar as well as to buy the Namibian product. Mm. So, this case is very important.
Plus, we just, based on your own view now as an economist, in what ways can the government enhance the business climate to enable businesses to grow and contribute more effectively to the country's economy?
I like the fact that the government also has came up with, the special economic zone, also, which includes also the incubators, where they attract business within that particular environment. Mm. So, because the thing is, when the government creates a conducive environment for Namibian businesses, not only that is a business that are the businesses that are benefiting, but the government also. So, if you look at the 32% of the tax rate that they take from businesses, it's a good income for the government, as well as for the businesses that sell products that are barely allowed in certain environments. So they charge the corporate tax of 32%, as well as the sin cost tax for products such as cigarettes and alcohol and so forth. Mm-hmm. So if you see now a ratio of a government benefiting and also the ratio of business benefiting, it's more or less a positive relationship. If the government benefits increases, the businesses also increases. So I think the government can just put as much as to business people, and then they also just do business as usual, and then they can also make an income and a living as well from it.
Mm.
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Peter, for availing time to have a brief discussion on this.
Thank you for having me. Always a pleasure.
And there you had it from economist Peter Franz as he shared his insights on what the Minister of Works and Transport recently announced. With that being said, we pause here and take a trip to the marketplace, but we're only getting started with our news bulletin. Our studio number is also open. 083-288-401 is the number in studio should you have a comment or opinions that you would want to share.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station, by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that doesn't have a capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back. The World Health Organization defines health as a state of complete physical, mental, and social well-being, and not merely the absence of disease or infirmity. And although there is an increase in the incidence and prevalence of mental health disorders or conditions, Namibia currently only has two national mental health care referral units or hospitals, namely the Windhoek Central Hospital, which caters for 9 regions, and Oshakati Intermediate Hospital, which caters for 5 regions, which are old and dilapidating. Now, even the proposed facility, which was intended for Kavango West, never happened. This according to Dr. Helen Njaba, who is a senior specialist at the mental health unit, Windhoek Central Hospital, who is calling on the revisit of the Ministry of Health and Social Services to construct more mental health facilities, support and strengthen mental health financial and human resource development, urging them to continue where others have ended. She was speaking at the May Mental Health Awareness Month session for members of parliament that took place at Thuringhof Hotel in Windhoek. Let's take a listen.
The Minister of Health has developed a roadmap in accordance with the NDP 4 and the Vision 2030. The roadmap provides a strategic framework for health facility upgrading, the establishment of new specialized services, health facility, and also among other special services, the following mental health hospital were included. And within that feasibility study, I was part and parcel of that. Of course, that recommendation was saying that Oshakati and in Oshana or Kavango by 2018, that mental health hospital or institution was supposed to have finished. So that's why we are saying action. Things, papers are there, everything is there, correcting dust, and we are saying, let's start from the foundation that was built to continue, not just starting every time we've got new members of parliament, new member ministers, EDs, everybody is coming to say, I have the know-how, I will start. Rather, continue where others, and the documents are there, just continue where others have ended. Windhoek and Kitmans, by 2023, those facilities were supposed to have finished. And the move could have then could have been the solution regarding mental health services in the country. Where now, I know the minister mentioned, if one of you here becomes sick, that's the time you call me, Dr. Njaka. Can I go to Roman Catholic? Roman Catholic said no. Lady Pohamba said no. We don't admit somebody with mental condition because they are going to break our infrastructures and no one is going to pay for them. The only place that remains for you is the Groendakkies, Mark Camp, Ward 16. So we better start doing those upgrading and make those facilities better for the admission for all of us, because mental illness does not discriminate. The achievements. For the past years, when I join the department as a psychiatrist. I think I'm proud to say I've rendered my services because for the past 8 years, I have been heading the department, receiving the same salary as any other psychiatrist, but with additional work. It was only 2 years ago that I was awarded this position of a senior specialist with additional companies. Then, of course, for the past years, since 1903, that department never had a senior medical officer. It was only for the past 2 years that we were blessed with two senior medical officers. The number of medical officers has increased from two when I started, because I said we were two, to four, to six, to eight, and currently to 18, to 13. Then, as well as the nurses and the rest of the team, there is an increase, although of a margin, at least that appreciated. The challenges. The two national mental health care referral unit hospitals are not just enough. They are even old. Nobody would want even to be admitted there. Even some of the people, when they are members, their family members are admitted, the moment they say no, I better go and look after my family member at home. Yesterday, I spent 2 hours with a lady who then by then went to the ministry and saw one of our deputy ED and said, my son keep absconding. And before she came, I had five City of Windhoek police officers. Doctor, we want to see you. But before they come to my office, they were directed to one of the office of our psychologist. Because we want to understand, why do we keep bringing patient here and then the following day the patient has absconded? I explained to them, there is a standard by the World Health Organization, but the problem we have, we don't have a proper fence. With the new proposed a mental health facility, that is a very nice one, and by then has got only two entrances, which is meant by Ministry of Home Affairs. And if anybody had to abscond, then they know who comes in and they know who goes out. And on top of that also, the safety of the staff is not there. We requested for mental detection. And when it was done, we have found many people coming to the hospital with guns, with knives. And you must remember, these people are hearing voices. And the voices, one of the voices they may hear is Dr. Jabba's voice. And when they come with a gun to the hospital, before anything, they will do something to Dr. Jabba. So we are not safe. And even this is the complaint, when patients go to Katutura, then immediately, it's non-psychiatric patient. Refer to psychiatry. We are not safe. We are afraid. I don't know. Maybe people understand that we are more super people, that we cannot be, our life cannot be endangered. So there is increase of incident and the prevalence of mental health disorders. No psychiatry ward or beds or strong room in district hospital. Stigma was already talked about. Discrimination from all walks of life. Even when this position were advertised for medical officer, there are people in their WhatsApp.com. I don't want to be spitted by patient. I would not apply for that position. But when they see they are getting lost in the corner, they come and beg. Are those positions already filled? So stigma and discrimination. No community health facilities such as halfway homes, shelter, workshop, and the daycare center. Our people have been rejected, and the mental health conditions are chronic. One of the stigma and discrimination, it even comes from medical aid. They will say, no, we only approve for 14 days. Somebody who comes to a private chronic will not become symptom-free within 14 days. So as a result, it is just a chain. They go, come back, and the medical aid is depleted. And that is a problem. No focal person trained in mental health at the community level. No long-term rehabilitation center for substance use. Staff have limited knowledge on mental health services at district hospital. Family abandoned their relatives, both general and forensic. All building with limited space, no proper fence. Environment not safe for staff where we are giving these health services. There's also lack of human resources for mental health services due to stigma. No one wants to go and specialize. We have two, by the way, we have two who are specializing currently in mental health, but the two is just a drop in the ocean. As the two contracts is ending, the two coming in, they still remain three, and there's a lot of work that need to be done. I wanted to plead, but I'm still pleading because the ED is here. If you find an application in your office, somebody want to go for specialization in psychiatry, don't ask for many, many documents. So long as we have approved it on our side, let this person go before they change their mind. Stigma, discrimination. We are even asked doctors there. They are asking, are you a doctor? But they forgot that before I went to specialize, I was just a GP like any other person. Let me give you an example. One day my husband fell and they sustained a fracture. The doctor, the orthopedic, said he should go for CT scan. I said, no, the fracture is there. The X-ray was already done. Then he looked at me. Then he said, are you a doctor? Then I said, I'm a psychiatrist. Then you are useless. Then I said, okay, you are an orthopedic and you are just a carpenter for the bones. So he kept quiet. So you see the stigma and discrimination for people who are attending, but when everything fails, like for instance, people start from Katutura, they have done apparently, they wake up, everything is fine, they don't know what to do with this person, refer to psych. Then when they come to psychiatry, happily we clear everything and we become proud of that. As much as we are not respected, we do wonders. Difficult with discharge process of state president patient. This is a topic of another day. We have been taught to speak the language of the lawyers.
And there you had it from Dr. Helen Jamber, who is the senior specialist at the mental health unit at Windhoek Central Hospital. Now, yesterday I sat in the Mental Wellness Awareness Month session for members of parliament, and how they from the Ministry of Health and Social Services, particularly the mental health aspect, they tried to convene the issues that they are facing and trying to address them. I personally realized that there is a bigger issue at hand in regards to mental health within our public system and our public health system that needs to be addressed soon as. Come to think of it, there's only two national referral hospitals being in regards to mental health, being Oshakati and Windhoek Central Hospital, with Windhoek Central Hospital catering for 9 regions and Oshakati catering for 5 regions, excuse me. And one thing they did mention there is that the cases of mental health is becoming, there's an increase in incidence and prevalence of mental health disorders and conditions in Namibia, and also safety for them. They themselves, the workers, apart from them being understaffed already, they are not actually safe. And as you heard, the 5 police officers came to her and said, why are the patients subconned? Why do they, what's the plain word that I can use? Why do they leave the premises of the hospital or the facility where they are supposed to be in and are not actually properly put into places where they can safely not escape? And she says, the facility itself, as much as the World Health Organization has measures in place as to how a mental health facility should be, well, our facilities don't cater for that. They don't have that. And even, Oshakati, the mental health unit at Oshakati, Intermediate Hospital is within a hospital. So it is in a hospital. It's Ward 16, and right there within the hospital. There's so much that needs to be done in regards to mental health in Namibia. There's a lot of people that are suffering from mental health issues. And one thing I also learned is that everyone is a potential mental health patient. Listen to that again. Everyone is a potential mental health patient. It's only a matter of time and circumstances. Given, and I don't want to say the right, but that's just for lack of a better word, given the right circumstances, one can be a case of mental health, being a mental health patient. For one, for some, once they lose their child, and then it triggers. For some, once they lose their marriage, for others, their job, so many different triggers. And the other thing is that our private hospitals don't cater for mental illness, as you had Dr. Njamba mention in there, because one of the reasons apparently is because should we take in a mental health patient here, they're going to come and break our staff, or they come and damage the infrastructure. Hence, for everybody else that has a case of mental health, regardless of social economic status, they have to go to the health facilities. Now, this is a bigger call to those on the ground itself that needs to deal with this particular thing, or the policy, the policy framework. And the Minister of Health also speaking at that particular event, also spoke about policies that take longer to be implemented or to be put in place, or something actually being done. It takes longer at being discussions until work pile up and collects dust. So they are calling on the Ministry of Health, and of course, I guess all stakeholders involved, to come on board and finalize all that needs to be finished. And the Rundu Hospital, is it Kabango West? There was supposed to be constructed another mental health unit there that never actually took place. Rumor actually has it that people didn't want, they felt like, why consult a hospital here at Kabango West? Are there no other places that are being affected by mental health? And that's, I want to say, a very wrong mindset and a very wrong narrative, because mental health affects all of us. It doesn't discriminate. It doesn't look at social classes and all that. Now, with that being said, let's pause here. You are tuned into On The Radar News Bulletin, and this is Mental Health Awareness Month, although it's generally spoken about in May. A commercial break.
Taking flight has never been easier. Paratus is introducing SkyFi internet packages with speeds that will have you reaching for your seatbelts. Starting from $500, excluding VAT, per month, with speeds reaching up to 10 megabits per second. There's even a prepaid option where you can top up your SkyFi internet for just $15 per gigabyte. No contracts, no fuss. Visit your nearest Paratus branch to find out more. Or go to paratus.africa/Namibia to sign up online. Always prepare,
Paratus. My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back to On The Reading News Bulletin. Now, Wednesday's edition of the Villager newspaper is out. Make sure that you grab your copy and read up on the stories that we covered in yesterday's newspaper. Proper grain storages can improve food security. Economic diplomacy must address domestic issues. Beverage production and export declines in March 2025. The government backs in roe skin export levy reduction. Financial literacy is a must in schools. Now, these are the headlines that we covered in yesterday's e-paper, being the Villager newspaper. Make sure that you do grab your copy and read up on them as you anticipate and wait for Friday's newspaper. All you have to do is send a WhatsApp text message on 081-200-4144 for updates. Now, moving on with other news, the Minister of Works and Transport, Vico Nekundi, on Tuesday issued a directive to traffic officers to issue fines to taxi owners and not drivers. The directive has sparked national debate, with many believing that the behavior of driving is solely due to the driver and not the owner, and that the owner is held accountable for the maintenance of the car. Let's take a listen as my colleague Joseph Jeremiah caught up with Vino Ita, who is an executive from Naloba. Pardon me, Olavi Ita, the executive from Naloba.
Good afternoon, Mr. Olavi Ita.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir.
Thank you for tuning in on the radar. Mr. Olavi, I just want your perspective on the Minister of Works and Transport issuing a directive on to traffic officers to give fines to taxi owners and not the drivers.
Yeah, thank you very much for coming through. Yeah, I think from my perspective, I think the minister might be overquoted on the statement he made. I think there is a misinterpretation on the minister's intention when it comes to the issuing of those fines. My perspective is that what he means is that the traffic fines, which related to the fitness of the vehicle, should be paid by the owner, by the operator. And the traffic fines that are related to the driving offenses, which means is the behavior of the driver, that should be borne by the driver himself or herself. I think that's my perspective, how I understand the minister's statement. I heard everybody coming up with a different view, how they interpret it, but I don't think it's correct to say the operator must pay for the traffic fine. It's incorrect to say that. Yes, because if you look at most of the traffic related tickets that is issued to the drivers, they are not for mechanical. Mostly is offenses. Drivers not using the seatbelt, drivers not stopping at a prohibited area, drivers overloading, drivers, you see, those things, not really on the roadworthy issues. Because most of this vehicle, when it's come to roadworthy issue, the operators normally make sure that it complies. Yeah. That's my perspective on the matter. Yes.
So Mr. Ita, as being a representative of Naloba, I just want a view of how does the directive impact taxi owners and drivers in terms of accountability and vehicle maintenance?
It's really not going to have a very big impact. It's only that it's good that it's come at the right time when we all need to be accountable of our actions. I think the life of the people is matter in this industry. So we just needed to work together as a team, both the operators and the drivers, so that we make sure that we all comply with the traffic regulations. I think the lives of our customer matters. Money comes second, which is the ultimate why we are operating in the industry. But my life of the people matters.
So in terms of these fines, Mr. Ita, we know fines are always going to be they go hand in hand with money, right? So I just want to know, what is Naloba's position on the potential financial impact on taxi owners, especially those owning multiple vehicles?
Yeah, on the financial impact for those fines, I think it's going to hit hard in the pocket of both parties. You see, if you issue it to the driver have to pay. If that driver is working for me, I also have to feel that cost, you know, because it have to cut from his pay. And you know, the affordability become the issue of the day. However, the issue of maintenance, it's not also going to be cheaper anymore.
Yes.
Because this, remember this vehicle, most of them which are operating mostly on the public transport. Mm. If you look at the taxis, they are not brand new cars. They are not brand new vehicles. Mm. So the issue of maintenance is going to be a problem. Yes. Yeah, but what my emphasis is that we only need to comply to make sure that there's no compromise on the safety of the people. Mm. But although we needed to just to have to comply with those directives. Mm. I cannot overemphasize on the issue of the minister. I think he look at both sides and there is only that maybe he supposed to consult wider before he issued the directive.
Yes.
I think that's the outcry which is coming from the operators. He's supposed to consult his intention of issuing the directive. But I don't think it have a very bad intention.
So, as an organization, what do you recommend for improving communication between traffic officers, taxi owners, and drivers under the new system? Because this is a new system that people aren't used to.
Yeah, the system is still a problem. We still have those bottlenecks. Mm. Is for example, you apply for the taxi license today. Mm. The transportation board is only going to come to you after two or three years. Mm. So those are the fundamental issues that need to be addressed first. Because you can't make business if the business is going to come to you after 2 to 3 years. I think that is the main thing that we needed to address first, or to consult with the stakeholders, so that we make sure that we address the fundamental issue. Because the fine they are determined already by the law. Is only that the directive maybe is only to emphasize on the reinforcement. And I think if minister could to have an option to consult better with the business owners or the operators, mm. it's going to have a different views and a different perspective. Mm. Yes.
With that being said, now, do you perhaps think there is another way where the ministry can go about this? Because, as you said earlier, it's not just the owners that are responsible for these cars. Some damages are brought in by the drivers themselves.
Exactly. Mm. Exactly, yes. We cannot only look at the driver.
Mm.
We are looking also at the authorities.
Yes.
For example, look at the condition of the road now. You see, you put new tires on the vehicle today. Before the end of the day, you already lost two tires. Now, who is going to pay for that?
Mm-hmm.
It comes to the operator himself. You see, I think if we sit and find out a win-win situation, which is everybody going to agree and happy,
mm-hmm.
I think that we're going to solve a problem rather than having one-sided, having the bigger weight. And then pressing the others, it has not gone away well.
Mm.
Yes.
Thank you for engaging with us on this matter, sir. We hope you have a blessed day ahead, and let's remain safe and keep ourselves warm, sir.
Yeah, thank you very much. Mm. Thank you very much. Okay.
A short commercial break, and we'll be back soon to continue with our news bulletin.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Welcome back. Now for other news, the United States Embassy in Windhoek has reaffirmed its commitment to the strong bilateral relationship between the U.S. and Namibia while addressing recent concerns surrounding U.S. travel policies and visa eligibility. In an official statement, the embassy clarified that Namibia is not included in a new U.S. presidential proclamation issued on 9 June 2025, which restricts entry into the United States for nationals of certain countries due to national security and public safety concerns. The embassy confirms that there have been no changes to visa eligibility for Namibian citizens, and I quote, "The U.S. government continues to welcome Namibians who comply with immigration procedures as visitors, students, and business travelers," the statement read. "We remain committed to facilitating legitimate travel in accordance with U.S. law and policy." The embassy also provided clarification on the current Level 2 travel advisory for Namibia, which was renewed on December 23, 2024, and has remained unchanged since 2023. The Level 2 status advises travelers to exercise increased caution due to concerns related to health and crime. Embassy officials emphasize that this advisory is not a punitive measure, doesn't restrict travel or visa processing, and is consistent with travel advisories issued for other countries such as the United Kingdom, France, and Germany. Each country receives an annual review and update of its travel advisory status. The advisory is intended to guide American citizens in making informed travel decisions and should not be interpreted as a ban or downgrade, the statement added. Despite some confusion and media reports suggesting otherwise, the embassy retaliated that Namibia remains a welcoming destination for American travelers and that bilateral travel and cooperation between the two nations continue to thrive. The U.S. embassy remains open and operational, continuing its work to foster mutual understanding and cooperation in areas of shared interest between Namibia and the United States. Now, what does this mean for Namibia? And how could Namibia leverage the opportunity to build stronger bilateral ties with the U.S. that could benefit both countries? Well, to find out on those questions and more, we caught up with political analyst Ndumba Kamanya to guide us through some of those questions. Good morning, Ndumba Kamanya, and welcome to On The Radar News Bulletin.
Good morning, Marvin, and thank you for having me.
Pleasure is always mine. Now, the United States Embassy in Windhoek has reaffirmed its commitment to strong bilateral relationships between the U.S. and Namibia, officially releasing a statement that clarified that Namibia is not included in the new U.S. presidential proclamation issued on 9 June 2025, which restricts entry in the United States for nationals of certain countries. What does this move mean for Namibia?
Well, it means quite a number of things. First and foremost, it is the aspect of reassurance and certainty for Namibia and Namibian residents in the USA. So meaning that anyone that is traveling on the Namibian passport to the USA can travel freely. They are not affected by that restrictions. So whether you are traveling on business, tourism, students, or work, that you don't fall under that restrictions. That's number one. Number two, stability in bilateral relationship between Namibia and the U.S. Mm-hmm. So the fact that
it has been clarified that Namibia is not on the list of the restricted country. That in itself, it enhances the positive relationship, or rather diplomatic relationship between Namibia and the USA. Lastly, it means continuity for business, education, mm-hmm. and other activities between Namibia and the USA. Remember that Namibia and the USA enjoy cordial exchange in education, mm-hmm. business, and other areas. So the clarification preserves those activities that it can take place as usual. Yeah, so it's a good news for Namibia.
Yes. Now, how could Namibia leverage the opportunity to build stronger bilateral ties with the U.S. that could benefit both countries?
Well, they need to strengthening the current bilateral relationship and diplomatic relationship. I think that's the only way that they can benefit from it, but also for Namibia to be to offer clarity in terms of Namibia's visas towards the USA, towards US citizens or US in general. So Namibia has to offer a clarity in terms of its trade policies, in terms of its educational policies, in terms of its visa traveling policies. And I think if you do that, that's strengthening the relationship between the two countries.
Mm. Now, Mr. Kamanya, what role does a public perception and media play in shaping Namibia's diplomatic image, especially in light of the recent misinformation surrounding the visa proclamation?
Yes, that is the danger of fake news. We are living in a time where people are learning or are getting information on social media, and sometimes that information is not vetted, so you end up spreading fake news. And unfortunately, media and the journalists sometimes also, they fell trapped to that kind of information, you know, seeing somebody posted on Facebook and they make it as a real news. So it is important for media and the journalists to vet the information that they are seeing online, more in particular on social media, to make sure that they do not enhance the spreading of fake news. Because fake news can do damage to a country, to the economy, and to individuals. So I think that is where media ethics comes in, that journalists are held to ethical standards, that they cannot just grab any information on social media and turn it into real news.
Indeed. Now, given that the travel advisory has not changed since 2023, how could Namibia perhaps respond or improve its domestic situation to eventually move to a lower advisory level?
Well, there's quite a number that can be done. One is to make sure that we maintain the peace and stability that is there, because if you don't have the peace and stability, your image, your public image will be affected, both, internal, regional, continental, and international. And two, to make sure that our democratic governance must be seen to be an active democracy and avoid an approach or a governance that is littered with corruptions and money laundering and all of those other aspects, to ensure that we have regulations and policies, that we are a country of laws. So I think that will increase the public image of the country.
Mm. Out of those countries that the U.S. has declared no longer welcome to the U.S., Chad has the Republic of Chad has retaliated. Do you think this is a good move for them, or perhaps they should have just lay aside and call it misunderstanding, as other countries are calling it?
Well, it depends on what alternative does Chad have in terms of engaging in trade, in terms of engaging in diplomatic relations. If they have a best country that they think that it will replace the existing diplomatic and trade relationship between the Chad and the USA, probably is a good move. But I think Chad should have been a little bit careful and try to negotiate and try to explain their situation, like what we have seen with South Africa, that President Ramaphosa has to travel to the USA to explain itself. So I think that could probably have been a good move, because remember that the U.S. is one of the biggest economy in the world. If you cut it out permanently, it will affect your economy as well.
Okay. Dr. Nduba, thank you so much for making time for us right here on the Reading News Bulletin.
All right, thank you. You take care.
Okay.
Welcome back. You're still tuned into On the Reader News Bulletin, right here on Eagle FM. We're now taking a trip to the marketplace. When we do return, we'll be bringing you what's making headlines today in regards to economic indicators. Stay tuned.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud. So
not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? Any person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Ulio mnangeshefa ni wahara kushigifa oma akuro ya kupitira muhurike radio station ayo Eagle FM. Enya mkuro olongaha. Ninge kwa tafano na Monica kushikondosha ipindi konorahita tuimwe, heari imwe, ne heari, imwe imwe no hamano. That is 0817147116. Mumberewa konorahita tu natu, mbali o hetatu batatu, ne nola no natu. Ninge tumo emaila ku monica@eaglefm.com.na. Opo mwone oshijemo shiri nawa.
Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Simon, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back. And now for some economic indicators, we're going to start off in Namibia. Namibian dollar against US dollar, or US dollar against Namibian dollar, which has gone down by 0.17%, standing at 17 Namibian dollars and 67 cents. While the euro against Namibian dollar is at 20.35, and it hasn't changed. In regards to the Australian dollar against the Namibian dollars, it's coming in at $11.51, and the pound sterling against the Namibian dollar is at 24.01 Namibian dollars. The Japanese yen is at 0.12 Namibian dollars. And the Japanese yen against the Namibian dollar is at 0.012, which has gone up slightly by 0.92%. And with the French Swiss, it has gone up at, gone up with 1.28% at $21.89. Non-agricultural commodities overall, the agricultural commodity top gainer for today is oat at 1.56%, with the biggest losers being soybeans at minus 0.57%, rapeseeds are at minus 0.51%, and cotton at 0.50%. On energy commodities, the top commodity gainer for today is natural gas at 2.02%, natural gas UK GBP at minus 6.5%. Angola's inflation rate slows to 2023 lows. The annual inflation rate in Angola continued to decelerate to reach 20.74% in May 2025, the lowest since December 2023, easing from 22.32% in the prior month. The stabilization of the kwanza has helped contain imported inflation, while elevated interest rates and improved availability of consumer goods have supported a sustained disinflationary trend since July 24. On a monthly basis, consumer prices went up by 1.17% in May, marking the lowest increase since May 2023 after a 1.34% rise in the previous month. South Africa's mining output has slipped by 7.7% over a year ago in April 2025, followed a revised 2.5% decline in the prior month and more than an expected 4.3% drop. The latest reading pointed to the sixth consecutive month of downtime in the country sector, and at a solid space led by PGMs at minus 24.1% versus minus 9.9% in March, nickel at minus 21.9% versus minus 0.3%, and copper at minus 9.5% versus 3.2%. China stocks. The Shanghai Composite inched up on 0.01% to close at 3,403, while the Shenzhen component shed 0.11% to 10,234 on Thursday. With mainland stocks struggling for clear direction amid lingering uncertainty over US-China trade relations. Earlier this week, US and Chinese negotiations, reached a preliminary trade agreement in London that includes the removal of Chinese export restrictions on rare earth minerals and the reinstatement of access for Chinese students to US universities. And that's what we had for you in regards to economic indicators. We now pause here and we'll be back with news beyond the borders.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? Any person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Audio mnangeshefa noahara kushivifa oma kuroe kupitira mohorike radio station ayo Eagle FM. Enya mkuro olongaha. Ningi kwa tafano na Monica kushikondosha ipindi konorahitatu imwe, heari imwe, ne heari, imwe imwe no hamano. That is 0817147116. Momberewa konorahitatu natu, mbali ohetatu vatatu, ne nola no natu. Nenge tumo emaila ku monica@eaglefm.com.na. Opo umone oshijemo shiri nawa.
Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Gives me great pleasure to invite the President to the stage to deliver the keynote address and give us a message of what needs to happen from here going forward. Thank you.
Please, let's be seated. Program Director, Minister, you may think that you have the switch. But I don't want to reveal the secrets of our continuous conversations, because each time our grid runs into problems, the Minister is the first to either run to me or call me and say, Mr. President, we're facing overload in this area and that area. Do you allow us to switch off the lights? Environments. And we now to, up to 2 million jobs that could be created, and even 4 million jobs in Alliance member states by 2015. And this will require us to implement our ambition. To make use of these opportunities, we need to establish appropriate policy and regulatory environments. And we now have to go beyond just talking about them. Minister Ramakgopa referred to this. And I'm rather glad that this is the discussion that is going on in a number of our countries, in the alliance states. We must continue to move as a continent to develop regional certification schemes, hydrogen corridors, and green product export platforms. And this requires that we should work together. We should be able to make this alliance truly alive. And we commend the work of countries like Mauritania, which has taken early steps with regard to certification. It will be critical that we learn from one another and also converge on standards that work for Africa. And it is here where the African Union will play a key role as it combines and unites all of us. And we now have officials who have been put in key positions, like my sister Lerato Mataboge, who are going to make sure that, yes, we move towards proper systems, proper regulatory processes. The recently launched Green Hydrogen Project is a consolidation of 35 underlying studies, providing the most comprehensive insight to date into the continent's green hydrogen potential. A number of recent global developments further support our continent's potential on green hydrogen and enhancing this ecosystem. The H2 Global Mechanism is opening its second bidding window with one of the four lots allocated to our continent. The African lot, which is gladly funded by one of the countries that is participating here, Germany, will guarantee offtake for successful projects on our continent. A joint declaration of intent with the German government focuses on market access, offtake opportunities, and value additive benefits in the production of green steel as well as green fertilizer. And we've been talking about fertilizer in various summits, and I recall how at the G7 we spoke about fertilizers even beyond the shortage of fertilizer in the wake of the Ukraine-Russian conflict. We commend the German government for its commitment to African supply. For South Africa's part, we have made advances towards building the green hydrogen industry. Minister Ramaphosa was outlining precisely the number of steps that we have taken and we are taking. And it has, beyond just being addressed in the State of the Nation address, been an area of great focus amongst our officials, and I'm glad to say amongst our business people as well. To date, South Africa has invested more than 1.5 billion rand in our Hydrogen South Africa program.
The G20 meeting in South Africa focus on digital connectivity.
The G20 Digital Economic Working Group has been focusing on how different countries can use technology to improve their economies. They have been highlighting key areas in the priorities set by the presidency, including connectivity for inclusive digital development and how to use information communication technology to improve the lives of people in different communities. The digital economy will enable people, including those in rural areas, to participate in digital technology transformation for a better future. It will also enable those in developing countries to use technology for activities such as receiving grants through cell phones and applying for IDs and passports online by themselves. Delegates from all 20 countries have finalized the draft of all the key areas of priority. They are expected to produce a final report on all the priority areas in September this year.
What we achieved between Monday and now is to unpack all these different areas and agree on the deliverables we want to achieve as a working group. And the ultimate outcome is Today we are finalizing the ministerial declaration document, which is a document that will be signed by all the ICT ministers of the G20 member countries. We're planning to sign that document in Cape Town.
Escalating.
It will be signed off by all the ICT ministers in September.
The meeting brought together experts and policymakers from across the world.
Throughout the insightful and valuable workshops and the reports presented by the presidency and knowledge partners, it really gets the sense and perspective of the Africa's need, Africa's opportunities and challenges they're facing. And we are very happy to join hands with G20 members to continue our cooperation on digital economy, ICT development, and digital development to foster the SDGs to advance to gap the bridge the digital divide and smart divide, and join hands working together to present more fruitful outcomes for the summit. And I really wish to strengthen our cooperation with the Africa continent to better harness the technology, digital technology in specific, and to bring the benefit for all.
For developing countries to exploit the full potential of digital economy and artificial intelligence, experts say they need to consider social and economic collaboration with other countries.
I heard a lot of capacity building in the discussions yesterday. There were best practices on how should the capacity be built, what are some of the frameworks, what are the do's and don'ts. We hope the developing countries who are present over here can learn from the advanced economies who are advanced. So the forum was provided a good knowledge exchange and also thought-provoking, discussions, workshops, and a lot of bilateral opportunities where one country could learn from another country. They could look at partnerships with each other.
The G20 Digital Economic Working Group meeting is part of a series of international meetings that South Africa is hosting ahead of the main G20 summit in November. A task group on artificial intelligence is expected to start with their meeting on Thursday. Lindani Ralepasa, ACBC News, Polokwane.
Meanwhile, the government of Zambia is targeting a bail ban on sexual crimes.
In cases of defilement and sexual abuse against women and children in the country, demand immediate and decisive action. Every delay risks the further devastation of innocent lives, permanently affecting their physical and psychological well-being. And government is introducing stiffer punishments on perpetrators. Justice Minister Princess Kasone disclosed this in Choma during his stakeholders' engagement on the constitutional amendments.
When people are defiled, they are raped, the incest has happened, they are affected for life. There is no even repairing that impact. So what I'm trying to say, this is unacceptable as a country, this is a moral decay, and among the laws that will become non-bailable is one of them.
The minister also called for protection of children in homes by sensitizing them.
Let's be aware who is coming in our homes and sensitize our children, because these things happen so innocently. The child will think it's normal. They'll think this is what a father is supposed to do to a child. So I think we need, as a country, also we need experts to help us. What are some of the signals?
Civil society organizations have welcomed the move by government.
For us as a YWCA, I think it's a very good move. That's what we've been advocating for. I'm sure you saw in the past few months how we were petitioning, you know, we're calling for stiffer punishment, and to hear that what we are doing is coming to fruition, it's very nice and we're excited.
And to hear that one of our demands which we advocated for during the petition of no bail, no bond has been fulfilled, is we are excited and we are happy.
Kalunga Msonda, Zenith News, Choma District, Southern Province.
Childhood obesity sparks alarm in Uganda.
Uganda's rich food diversity is not being served on children's plates. Processed foods and a lot of carbohydrates is a dietary choice for many, which potentially are a health risk.
Research has shown us that if a child is young, maybe say under 3 years, what you introduce to them at that age and make their diet at that age will inform their tongue, the taste buds, and how they choose the sour centers and the sweet centers. They develop accordingly.
Lifestyle diseases like diabetes, high blood pressure, and some types of cancer are said to be triggered by unhealthy diets. In Uganda, 2.8% of children under 5 are now overweight.
Your children only do what they see you doing. If you exercise, so will your children. If you eat healthy food, so will your children. However, there are other factors at play. It could be scarcity of resources. Sometimes the refined foods are more affordable because of accessibility in particular places. Other times, just ignorance.
Fitness coaches are encouraging regular physical exercises to prevent and manage the risk of lifestyle diseases.
You don't have to go to a gym for you to stay fit, because our forefathers used to walk. They used to dig. They used to ride bicycles. They used to do so many things that helped them to stay fit, healthier, happy, and productive. Since now, we've been attacked with the burden of non-communicable diseases. But if people take the responsibility that health is their human right, we believe we'll change.
The focus now is on children under 5. The Ministry of Health is scaling up nutrition levels, targeting schools so that children grow up healthy.
The set standards will ensure schools prepare nutritious meals while workplaces have gyms for regular exercises. Overall, parents are urged to take up a bigger role in children's food plans. Isabel Nakiria, CGTN Kampala, Uganda.
Meanwhile, in Lesotho, authorities are on high alert as no strains highland regions.
The heavy snowfall has rendered most of the roads in the Lesotho Highlands inaccessible, and in some cases only 4x4 vehicles can make it through. But for those who dare the challenge, the reward is the ultimate scenic views.
This is the kind of beauty that there are just no words that can explain. We are at Tabapuzwa, they call it the Blue Mountain Pass. At my back is Mohale Dam, and from there on you can see people all exploring, trying to get the best of what the snow can offer.
And for some, an opportunity to get to the snow could not be missed.
Lesotho is the only country that lies entirely 1,000 meters above sea level, which is why we are blessed with snow in winter. I mean, I think in all of Africa, we have the heaviest snowfalls, and we are the coldest country in Africa.
But for most of the locals, the main worry is keeping warm, and the horse is the only guaranteed form of transport to navigate through this complicated terrains. Keeping warm is all about having sufficient wood fire in times like this. We do encounter such challenges. These young ones are always taking risks, going as far as the Mudimu Ntuse Pass. The elder ones try to go and rescue them, and sometimes also get overwhelmed by heavy snowfall, and you end up losing both of them. While snowfall might pose a temporary inconvenience to some locals, the long-term benefits of the melting snow is the pristine waters that flows into the Mohale Dam and makes it all the way to Gauteng Province through the Lesotho Highlands Water Project. I'm Rapelang Khatebe for SABC News at Tabapuza Range in Lesotho.
Burundi's ruling party wins all parliamentary seats amid fraud claims.
Burundi's ruling CNDD-FDD party swept every contested seat in the National Assembly, securing a clean 100% of the 100 seats on offer. Aben won 96.51% of the vote according to the official results released on June 11. The main opposition party, the CNL, was effectively barred before the vote, its leaders removed and activists harassed, while other minor parties failed to clear the 2% electoral threshold, leaving the CNDD-FDD uncontested. International observers and civil society groups noted the general camp polling environment, but the opposition denounced the election as a significant fraud, citing ballot stuffing, quest voting and detention of the polling. This landslide marks the CNDD-FDD's continued domination under the current president, who came to power in 2020 following his predecessor's authoritarian legacy. With no opposition representation in parliament, Burundi faces mounting concerns, a critical test for the country's future political stability.
Mixed reactions in Nigeria as more men embrace braided hair.
David Onotu, a poet and stage performer, arrives at a hair salon, one that's long been a space for women. He's getting his braids loosened, washed and redone.
So it gives me the freedom of expression because I'm not boxed in by ideologies. It also has to do with breaking gender stereotypes, bonding with family and friends, and also, like I said earlier, low maintenance. Sometimes you get people who give me comments and compliment it, and I also get people who look at me a different type of way and they're not okay or cool with it. But either way, I think it's unique to me and I enjoy braiding my hair.
The hairstylists here are women, and lately they've seen more men coming in for braids. They say it's great for both business and creativity.
I don't see anything wrong in a man braiding his hair. For me, men even pay more than ladies. So, and I like that fact. When they come, I try to relate with them well. Like, let them not feel like we are being buyers. So I try to carry them along so that they will feel comfortable. And some even come back again. And some even recommend some of their friends to come braid their hair.
People are trying to adapt into what is trending. So it's a way of life whereby people are just trying to adapt to fit into what is really trending in the whole world now.
But not everyone is on board. In many communities, elders still see male braids as rebellious or inappropriate. In April, the governor of Niger State in North Central Nigeria placed a ban on young men keeping braids and dreadlocks. He even ordered that anyone caught wearing them be arrested and shaved.
I have two boys. And for me, braids is a no-no for them. Braids for me, it looks weird. It doesn't show any sense of decency. In fact, on it, you don't look responsible. I remember a few years ago, we needed to employ some people in my office, and I was privileged to be on board. And one of the guys stepped in on braids. I looked at him and said, young man, are we in New York? And of course, we didn't even bother to interview him.
But many young people and celebrities criticized the governor's stance, calling it reckless and unconstitutional. Under pressure, he eventually reversed the order. They argue that what truly matters is character, not hairstyle. And for David Onotu and others like him, it's all about style, confidence and self-expression, no matter what society says. Tasum Akende, CGTN Jos.
UN nuclear watchdog finds Iran isn't complying with its obligations.
The United Nations Nuclear Watchdog's Board of Governors on Thursday formally found that Iran isn't complying with its nuclear obligations for the first time in 20 years, a move that could lead to further tensions and set in motion an effort to restore the UN sanctions on Tehran later this year. Diplomats who spoke on condition of anonymity to describe the outcome of the closed-door vote said the resolution was voted for by 19 countries on the International Atomic Energy Agency Board, which represents the agency's member nations. Russia, China, and Burkina Faso opposed it, 11 abstained, and 2 did not vote. In the draft resolution, the Board of Governors have renewed a call on Iran to provide answers without delay in a long-running investigation into uranium traces found at several locations that Iran has failed to declare as nuclear sites. Iran reacted immediately, saying it will establish a new enrichment facility in a secure location and that other measures are also being planned. The resolution was put forward by France, the UK, Germany, and the United States. Meanwhile, the United States has said it is reducing the number of people deemed non-essential to operations in the Middle East, including Iran.
Meanwhile, trade and geopolitical tensions weigh on markets.
Global stocks slipped and the US dollar weakened as geopolitical and trade tensions weigh heavy on investors' minds. It's Thursday, 12th June, and here's what you need to know. Well, President Trump said that the US had made a great deal with China, but the market reaction was somewhat guarded. Clearly, investors want more detail on the framework on the deal that has been drawn up. Global stocks fell and US futures are pointing to a negative open on Wall Street too. Concerns are also growing about talks that are due to take place between the US and Iran on Sunday, sending both gold and oil prices higher. Well, our chart of the day is Brent crude. Oil prices have actually eased back somewhat today, but on Wednesday, both WTI and Brent surged by 4%. That move came on the back of a US decision to move its personnel out of the Middle East ahead of those talks with Iran. Now, President Trump has said that Iran would not be able to have nuclear weapons, but Iran insists that its nuclear activity is peaceful. Data out on Wednesday showed that US consumer prices rose by less than expected in May, but they are expected to accelerate in the coming months due to President Trump's tariffs. Now, CPI in May rose by 2.4%. Policymakers at the Federal Reserve aren't expected to change interest rates next week, but traders are pricing in a 70% chance of a quarter point cut by September. Our number of the day is minus 0.3%. That's how much the UK economy shrank in April. In fact, that was the worst contraction since April 2023. President Trump's tariffs have hit exports and increases in taxes have hurt the services sector. Now, this data comes just a day after the Finance Minister, Rachel Reeves, delivered the government's spending review. She's pledged to deliver growth. And Tesla will be in the spotlight later. It's going to be launching its robo-taxis in Austin, Texas. The company's CEO, Elon Musk, has tentatively said that the public should be able to catch one from June the 22nd. Now, Musk has staked a lot on self-driving vehicles over perhaps developing a cheaper EV platform, and much of the company's future valuations will depend on this. And that's what you need to know this morning.
And with that being said, it's a wrap on today's episode of On The Radar News Bulletin. To stay tuned for the Ankona Nadengi program brought to you by Patema Shella later on in the day at 16:30, Dwight and Helmut to keep you company for the Home Run Show at 16:30. And other shows, also follow after that to keep you well informed and engaged on what's happening within the borders of Namibia. Now, from Indafa, happy Juju, it is goodbye. I'll see you again tomorrow, same time, same place, right here on Eagle FM at 1300 hours to 1430 for On The Radar News Bulletin. Goodbye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. Mm. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past. Mm. And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Oulio mnangeshefa, nuahara kushigifa oma akuroe kupitira muhuriki radio station awayo Eagle FM. Enya mkuro olongaha. ninge kwata fano na Monica kushikondosha ipindi konorahita tuimwe heali imwe ne heali imwe imwe no hamano. That is 0817147116 mamberewa konorahita tu natu mbali o heta tu batatu ne no la no natu ninge tumo emaila ku monica@eaglefm.com.na opo umone oshijemo shiri nawa.
Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.